Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, November the 12th, and our top story today is that a man has lost the feeling in one of his hands and suffered injuries to his hip, leg and wrist after being attacked by a dog near Sevenoaks. Now, reporter Charlotte Phillips has covered this story and joins me now. Charlotte, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast today. Firstly, where and when did this happen?
So, this incident happened just after 4pm on Wednesday, October the 30th. In some woodland near Burlings Lane in Knockholt, Sevenoaks.
And can you tell us a bit more about the dog and the injuries Nick Evans suffered?
Nick was doing some maintenance work at the time when a Rottweiler-type dog came running over and attacked him. He ended up with injuries to his hip, his leg and wrist, and he's now lost all feeling in one of his hands as a result of nerve damage.
What's he been told about how long it'll take to recover?
At the moment, doctors have told him that the healing time should be about 3 months, but it could take up to a year for him to fully recover.
And at the time of the attack, Charlotte, what did the dog's owner do?
When the attack was happening, Nick said the dog owner stood and watched, not really knowing what to do. She managed to get it off him eventually, but then she jumped over a fence and left the scene with the dog.
And finally, what have police said to you?
Police have confirmed that they were called to the scene and have said that inquiries are ongoing into the circumstances surrounding the incident.
Charlotte, thank you ever so much. We do wish Nick a speedy recovery.
Kent Online News.
One person's been arrested after four people were attacked with an unknown substance in Margate. They suffered reddening and irritation to their faces or chest after it happened in Mansion Street in the early hours of Saturday. A 19-year-old has been detained on suspicion of assault. He remains in custody while inquiries continue. A Sittingbourne man who stalked his former partner has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard Gavin Crayford sent his ex-girlfriend multiple messages a day and followed her around in his car after she left a supermarket in April last year. The 46-year-old from Fallowfield has been given a suspended sentence and 2-year restraining order. Legal action has been taken to protect a vulnerable woman in Ashford whose home was being used by suspected drug dealers. It's after a court heard the 57-year-old had no control over who was visiting her council home or over their disruptive and antisocial behaviour. A closure order has now been issued, which will allow only people with the court's permission to enter the property. Investigations are underway after cars were hit by rocks thrown off bridges over the M20. The vehicles were left damaged near Junction 4 for Leybourne last Thursday night. Police want to speak to anyone with dashcam footage. Now, next today, we can hear from the Chief Inspector of Prisons after a report revealed how inmates at a Medway jail are using cardboard and towels to stop rats from getting into their cells. Inspectors have been looking at conditions at HMP Rochester and also raised concerns about drug use and increasing levels of violence. It's after the jail became the first Category C prison to be issued with an urgent notification for improvement. Well, I've been speaking to Charlie Taylor, who's the Chief Inspector of Prisons.
Rochester's got about 800 men in it. It's a Category C training prison, which means the point of it is people are learning the skills that they need in order that when they come out from prison, they don't commit any further offences. But sadly, what we found when we visited on our last inspection was that prisoners were not getting to any sort of education, training and work in many circumstances, and therefore were just waiting around with nothing to do, bored out of their minds. And of course, the danger in any prison when that happens is that drugs begin to get into the prison. And in random testing, 42% of prisoners were testing positive for drugs. That's incredibly high. And it means, quite honestly, that is not a rehabilitative environment. It's an environment that's suffused with drugs. The effects of drugs are often violence and the influence of serious organised crime in the prison. And finally, Rochester was a jail that was slated for closure some years ago, but due to population pressures, it's been kept open, but it is really showing its age. The place is crumbling away in parts. Some of the conditions that men are held in there are really appalling. Vermin infestations, as you said, people putting up barriers to stop cockroaches coming in. Prison officers having to put up with rats, even in their offices that they describe for us. Well, people shouldn't be living and they certainly shouldn't be working in conditions like that.
What is this doing for what sounds like everybody's mental health, who's just working and is being held there?
Well, it's not a healthy environment to be in. It's not a healthy environment to be working in or to be a prisoner in. If you're an officer at Rochester, you're dealing with prisoners who are very often under the influence of drugs. That makes your life very difficult anyway, particularly as levels of violence had risen by a large percentage since the last time that we'd visited the jail. So it's become more violent, more drug infested, and prisoners have got less to do. And yet, ultimately, a jail like Rochester's job is to protect the public by keeping people locked up. But its job is also to protect the public by making people less likely to reoffend when they come out. And what prisoners at Rochester need is the training, the skills, the work habits that are going to mean when they do come out of prison, they can get a job, get work, take care of their families and get on with their lives, rather than being stuck in the cycle of crime and reoffending that creates more misery in our communities.
Would you go as far as to say, Charlie, that the system is letting these inmates down?
Well, I think it's letting down everybody who lives and works in that prison. But ultimately, what it's letting down is victims of crime and potentially future victims of crime as well. And that is ultimately the biggest concern about what's going on at Rochester. This is the first time that we've gone to a Category C training prison and used what is known as an urgent notification, whereby, in effect, I press a red button on the Secretary of State for Justice's desk and say, this prison needs to be fixed. But Rochester was in such a state that we had no choice but to do that.
As you mentioned at the start, hundreds of men are being held there. How on earth do improvements get made and get made quickly? Because it sounds like they do need to be made quickly.
Well, it is difficult because the population pressures are so big across the estate that you can't just shuffle prisoners around in a way that you used to be able to. So what it means is things like building works in jails often are very difficult to bring off. Now, the population has reduced a little bit recently, so there may be some scope to create a bit more space in Rochester. And of course, the other thing that's going on there is that Cookham Wood, the former young offenders prison next door, has been taken over by Rochester. And that's a big distraction for very busy staff in the main prison, who've also got to ramp up this new provision and get that up and running successfully.
When will you go back to Rochester and have another look at what's going on there, and what would you like to see when you do?
Well, we'll certainly be back there within a year. We want to see prisoners involved in proper, purposeful activity. We want to see a regime that is running efficiently and well. We want to see prisoners, at least beginnings of improvements to the conditions in which prisoners are being housed. And we want to see a reduction in drugs and a reduction in violence.
The government has said it will be taking immediate action to improve conditions.
Kent Online reports.
A housing company is facing a legal challenge after residents of flats on Sheppey were told to pay thousands towards new safety measures. This was actually the top story on a recent episode of the podcast, where they've each been asked to contribute £14,000 for fire regulations at Portland House in Sheerness High Street. Azure Property Limited say they understand it's a difficult situation. A review of how the consultation was done is now taking place. Bosses in Medway have warned the authority is very likely to go bankrupt if they don't make drastic changes. They're tipped to overspend by more than £11 million this financial year, and the council could be forced to stop some or all non-essential services. The budget is due to be discussed at Cabinet next week. A Kent Leisure Centre has been given a one-star food hygiene rating after salami was found to be a month out of date, among other expired food. Inspectors who visited the site on the Wincheap Industrial Estate in Canterbury found some food was undated and prepared, and there was dirt and mould in the kitchen. Owners of the Bowling Alley and Crazy Golf Course have blamed the low rating on a change of staff and insist customer safety is their top priority. Police investigating a break-in at a wildlife reserve in Sevenoaks have released CCTV images of a vehicle they think could be involved. The visitors centre at Bradbourne Vale Road was damaged and a cash register stolen last month. Officers have shared pictures of a Land Rover Discovery and a man they'd like to speak to. You can see those images by heading to our socials. Now, a week on from the US election, a former Kent MP has revealed he would have voted for Donald Trump. Craig McKinley is now a Lord and says he'd like to meet the president-elect if and when he visits the UK.
pay. He's also urging the now Foreign Secretary to apologise for comments he made about Mr Trump back in 2018. David Lammy previously said he'd protest if he came to England. He's now said those comments are old news. Well, Lord McKinley's been speaking to our colleagues at KMTV.
My mother had an old saying, and it stuck with me. She's passed away now. And it was, if you've got nothing good to say, best to say nothing. And I really rather wish David Lammy and others, when they were in opposition, had said nothing. Because they're now in government, and they've now, perhaps unexpectedly from their point of view, got to deal with the most powerful man on the planet in the shape of Donald Trump. Don't think it was a very good idea for Britain, more than anything else. I'm more worried about Britain than the reputation of David Lammy, for obvious reasons. Not great for Britain to have government members having been so derisive of this man. What it does show, that election, is that the reality of the world is rather different from what you read on Twitter and what mainstream media might always cover. Because, you know, I consume mainstream media in the UK, and to have watched the mainstream media, you'd have said there would have been a Kamala Harris landslide. That wasn't true. What was happening in communities was rather deeper than that. A lot of people concerned about immigration and the economy and all of those sort of things, and they saw that Donald Trump perhaps had some more ideas than another 4 years of a Democratic government, or Democratic Party, Democracy, whatever they call the Democrats, for another 4 years. And I suppose the latter months of Joe Biden was not edifying, really, to the Democrat brand, I have to say. In a way, not surprised that Donald won. What would I have done? I would be, Republicans and Conservatives would be bedfellows. And yes, I would have voted for Donald Trump, but I would have found it a little bit peculiar that out of a country of 330 million, couldn't have found a sort of perhaps an alternative Republican. I would have gone for DeSantis if I'd been in those early caucuses to try and find a candidate. But I really hope I can meet the man. I mean, the Don. It's going to be great fun. And if he comes to London, which I'm sure he will, he'll be getting a great reception from the Conservative Party, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll get a great reception from David Lammy. He's got to eat a bit of humble pie. But it'd be great to meet him. And I hope to be there one day.
Kent Online reports.
Figures today from the Home Office show almost 800 people crossed the Channel to Kent in small boats over the weekend. 13 vessels arrived after making the dangerous journey. It takes a total for the last week to more than 1,600. Plans for a new supermarket in Folkestone could suffer a setback after a rival threatened legal action. Proposals for an Aldi on the Park Farm industrial estate were approved by council bosses in June. However, Lidl have written to the authority raising concerns about the application. There are calls for a water main in Canterbury to be completely replaced after figures revealed leaks have caused roads to close 29 times in 4 years. Shallock Road and Broad Oak Road have been shut for a total of 96 days since October 2020. The majority of closures were for South East Water. The company say they work to reduce any disruption. And villagers in a part of Kent are fighting to save an historic windmill from being sold. Woodchurch Windmill near Ashford suffered thousands of pounds worth of damage during a storm in 2019, and locals now say it could be sold off by the council. The Grade 2 listed windmill dates back to 1820. Mel Bailey is the chairman of the Friends of Woodchurch Windmill.
We're now in the position that after an initial build in the 1980s and a subsequent refit in the 2000s, we're now faced in 2024 with the need for another refit. I understand the financial constraints that these bodies are under, but it's a heritage building. It has legal requirements to maintain it to a certain standard. It is part of the village. It's part of the village identity. We do derive significant numbers of visitors when we're open, which we do returns to visit Kent. We have been, apart from the stamp, we have featured in film productions, and we're part of the Kent Film Office list of venues. It's a historic monument, and I don't know how else you can say how better it should be preserved than saying it's a historic monument with significant community asset value to the village of Woodchurch.
The council say they won't comment on any potential sale until after a cabinet meeting next month.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have announced the club's director of football has stepped down. Kenny Jackett joined the Gills in January last year following the takeover by Brad Gallinson. The 62-year-old's decided to leave because of medical reasons. So far, no one has been appointed as his replacement. And Gillingham are taking a break from League Two this week, but they are in EFL Trophy action later. The Gills are travelling to take on Stevenage and still have a chance of going through in the competition. Mark Bonner says they'll be hoping to build on Saturday's victory over Port Vale.
We will pick a team to try and win the game. Lots of the boys that didn't play will play. The squad's the squad, so yeah, everyone will be coming. And we'll try and go and win the game, knowing that we haven't got a game next week. But having not had this moment for a while, one for everybody, now isn't the time really to over-evaluate that performance or think about the next game whatsoever. Truth is, when we walked off the pitch here last time, we thought, oh, that's a dead rubber of a game, but it isn't. So, that's great for us to have something on it. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it, if we could go and do that. That would be like kamikaze stuff. I'd love that. So we'll try. But we're obviously going to play against a really good side. That they'll make changes, I'm sure, but they're still strong. So when that comes around, and yeah, we'll go and give it a good go when we go there.
Their match against Walsall, which was due to take place this weekend, has been postponed. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.